die, we die together.
Amen.
You can get it done. You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
Want a piece of that championship? Put it in here.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Welcome in to Hour 2 of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson on 105.3 The Bear. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
Me, I'm super fly, super duper fly, super duper fly. Me, I'm super fly, super duper fly, super duper fly.
Hour number two is safely underway. Keep your text messages coming in at 744-2990. Joining us now on the program from Miami, it's Marva in Miami. Good morning, Marva.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Well, I'm just glad the phone's working because nothing else has been working this morning. Hey! Woohoo!
Well, you've been working. You've been working hard.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing like, you know, waking up at 4, getting in here shortly after, and then coming in and finding nothing sustainable. But that's okay. We're piecing it together as we go along.
Yes. Builds character.
It does. It really does. It's a character builder. It is. How's the fam? Everybody good on the weekend?
Yes, everyone's doing great. We had a nice weekend. You know, just enjoying the sun. We've almost survived the first month without school.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Yes.
Are you going to take the kids anywhere? Are you going on vacation? Anything like that?
Probably be taking them to North Carolina at some point, maybe August.
You know, North Carolina is pretty close to Virginia. I'm just saying, you know, you could.
It is. Maybe this is the year we make that journey up there to visit you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be great.
You could just have the whole fam in studio.
I'll let you know because it may be August. It may be an August thing. I don't think you can handle my whole family in your studio.
No, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Kids don't understand. You can't talk right now. You know, Uncle Rick is on the radio.
Well, they would be fine. We'll just put them on one microphone and they could just, you know, go back and forth, the youngsters. That'd be fine. That'd be just fine.
Okay.
By the way, I just read off. I don't know if you heard that. I had the Athlon. I'm sorry, not Athlon. The 247 ACC win total previews.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't catch all of it. I caught the tail end.
Well, they had Florida State winning it all. They have Miami number two, followed by Clemson, NC State, and SMU. They have your heels at 6 and Tech at 7.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird because everything I'm hearing is national championship bound North Carolina Tar Heels. So people are debating, is it going to be undefeated season or maybe a one-loss season? That's what I've been hearing, so I'm really surprised.
They have Carolina losing to Georgia Tech at Florida State and NC State. They do have Carolina going 9-3, 5-3 in the conference.
Okay, but that, again, not what I'm hearing, but okay.
Okay, all right. And they dumped App State for Charlotte, by the way. They didn't want to have to deal with App State anymore.
Hmm. No, I'm sure that thing was planned years ago.
Years
ago.
Uh-huh.
That was a fun series while it lasted.
All right, so what was your sporting consumption? I didn't watch much of anything. It was my mom's passing anniversary weekend, so I didn't watch much TV. So So I'm counting on you to update me on everything that you watched this week.
Understood.
I know you're watching the track and field, right? You're watching all the qualifying.
I did. I watched the trials. Last night, though, I couldn't watch. I had to tape it. I will be watching it today.
Okay.
So I've already heard some of the results because you know how it is, taping a sporting event. It's hard. You're going to hear some of the results. But I was excited about what I saw from the women. Like, the women who went 1, 2, 3 in the trials who are going to be going to the Olympics in Paris, I would love to see them do the same thing in the 100. I would love to see the United States dominate. You know our main rival is Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, American sprinters have been putting up better times than the Jamaicans. And so I would just love to see USA track and field just crush the Jamaicans, you know? I am predicting that we're going to see some races where we, are at the top of the medal stand, where we are, you know, gold and silver is going to the U.S., and I'm excited for it. I cannot wait, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I would love to see the women sweep gold, silver, and bronze going to the USA and just shutting out Jamaica. So we can do this, Rick.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Marva hates Jamaica. That's right. Breaking news.
I don't hate Jamaica.
What?
I just love the U.S.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, like I said, they've been our top rival.
They
have. So I just want to see them. And when you live in South Florida, there are a lot of people in South Florida from the Caribbean. And so, like, I'm hearing from people, Rick. Okay? I'm hearing from people about what Jamaica's going to do. And I just want them to, you know, have to shut up. So.
Well, are you going to be able to go there?
Is USA.
There, you know, we're going to have you on the infield grounds during these events down in Paris or up in Paris
I'm
or
so
over in Paris.
I'm so excited about that.
So I hope you're able.
I'm going to be everywhere, Rick. I'm going to be at the track. I'm going to be at the pool. I'm going to be at gymnastics. I'm going to be at the basketball games. I cannot wait to cover this for BDST.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Well, you're going to be running with the American runners, aren't you? You'll be trying to run around the track and stay with them because you're going to be so excited.
I will. I probably will. You know, and somebody may see me and say, "Oh my goodness, she probably should be in a race." That's probably what's going to happen.
Have you on these trials? I guess you've watched some of them already. Are you getting the vibe that the is the intensity level at the Olympic trials where you want it to be? I mean, you're right. These are spots wide open for the Olympic team. Okay, good, good.
I mean, I'm excited about the way the women, especially the women, look. That's who I've watched so far. I watched some of the preliminary races for the men. I did not watch, like, the final, which was last night for the 100. I taped it. I already know who won because, of course, it's really hard to stay away from results. But I still want to see the race and, you know, see what they look like. So, again, I'm excited about that. I even watched some diving. I know you don't really get into the pool sports. I watched some diving over the weekend where they were having their trials, too. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm always optimistic. We've got some teenagers competing who are looking really good. We have a couple kids going who they went first as teenagers. Now they're young college students. And so just excited, Rick. You know, I love the Olympics, especially the summer games.
You know, the thing that bothers me about the diving, all right, is that the age...
Swimsuit.
Yeah, well, no. It's the age... The age qualifiers are so... It's such a wide range that sometimes you have some countries that have very small divers that are... Mm-hmm. It's intentional because the ripple they're going to leave when they hit the water is going to be very scant, as opposed to a lot of our divers who are older, who are bigger, they're going to leave a little bit of a more of a... You know what I'm saying? It just seems like it's that kind of an unfair advantage. There's a little difference in body sizes for some of these countries.
Well, that is true. I mean, just in general, the size of their population maybe tends to be smaller. And you see that sometimes with, some of the Asian countries in particular, you'll see smaller athletes. And, you know, we have some young athletes as well. We have some teenagers. Again, I just love it all, Rick. I'm excited.
I know you do.
I don't know. Like I said, I taped this stuff over the weekend because I wasn't going to be able to watch the diving, so I taped it. I was able to watch that yesterday afternoon. Kind of plan on talking about it today, but it's just exciting. Like, I'm calling the kids in, come watch this, because, you know, kids are doing their swimming lessons, and I'm like, you guys, once you really get to get swimming, then maybe you could think about diving. And they both look at me like I'm crazy and leave the room. So, I don't know.
Well, to be fair, the little guy's probably looking at you going, Mama, even if I tried to do swimming, you make me wear a collared shirt. So what's up? Why should I even care?
I do not make you wear a collared shirt.
I'm looking forward to it. I do like the Olympics. I'm just so hopeful that our athletes don't embarrass us and decide to do something stupid about the flag. We're the only country in the world that has to worry about this, by the way. So let's hope they're all going there.
I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to be controversial. I really don't. Like, I know you were worried about that last time. There was nothing. Like, it was a great game.
Right.
Going to be a great games again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll
see. Just
watch.
It'll be a great game. Trust me, I'm
going to
be there.
We'll see. I know. Well, if that starts happening, you just get up. Hey, come on. This is the Olympics. Yeah. Show
but
respect.
I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think it's going to be fine. It's going to be a great game.
All right. We'll see.
Kicks going to bring home a lot of medals. And, oh, there's some trash talking going on already.
Really?
On the swimming side. There's an Australian swimmer that was saying she was upset. She was watching some of the coverage. She's talking about the last Olympic Games, and they mentioned the team that had the most overall medals, which was the United States. But she's like, the U.S. didn't have the most gold medals. I don't know if she was just talking about her sport and swimming or what. And she was just, and that, somebody showed the video of Michael Phelps, who's going to be there as a commentator.
Yeah.
And he was getting all fired. He's like, if I was on the swim team, I would have everybody watch this interview every day leading up to the Games. And because Australia is one of our big rivals, of course, in swimming. And he's like, we got to crush those Australians. And so I was just excited to see him getting all fired up.
Swimmer trash talkers, huh? That's new. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's cool. That'd be great. What if it was a big pool fight? Pool fight! Pool fight!
No, I don't think we're going to see that. But, you know, when I'm watching the diving, sometimes I was wondering, what if somebody just did this big cannonball or something? You know, because they're so precise.
They know they're out of the competition, so they just go down and do some kind of big belly flop. Yeah, just boom.
Yeah. But, yeah, I probably will never see that happen.
No, you're probably right.
I always think about that whenever I watch diving, though.
But if you're in, like, 45th place and you know you're not going to catch up, why not, right? Why not?
Yeah, just have some fun.
Just have some fun.
But, you know, if someone ever did that, oh, my goodness, the way people would talk about them. Have some respect.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll never see that.
We'll never see it. All right, what else did you observe from the weekend?
Oh, there was a WNBA game on Sunday. So good. It was the third matchup between the Chicago Sky and Indiana Fever. Remember the first time they met up, we talked about it because I caught that game. The Fever won by one. I didn't catch the second game, which Fever also won. So I was just excited to hear, you know, or see what was going to come down because, you know, you have two big superstars, the WNBA, the rookie superstars, and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Get to see them match up again. Very, very excited about this one. And it was really good. I mean, Chicago came out. They were just on fire to start this game. Kennedy Carter came out. She had scored 11 points in the first quarter. You remember her? She was the player who committed that flagrant foul on Caitlin Clark. Well, her say the first time they played together. But nothing like that happened in this game. There were a couple of really just athletic plays by Diamond DeShields, who ran Caitlin down and had a big block on one of her shots early in the game. And the first quarter, it was super close. The Sky was up 28-26 over the Fever. Okay, second quarter was the same thing. Really close. The Fever's Aaliyah Boston picked up 8 points. And Caitlin Clark seemed to really be emphasizing her passing in this game. I mean, she was just feeding Aaliyah Boston in the center for their team a lot. And Boston was making those shots. She finished with 13 assists on the day for Caitlin. So it seems like that was a part of her game she was really working on. At halftime, again, this one, super close. The score was 46-45, Indiana. And both teams were just shooting the ball really well. Chicago shot 52%, Indiana 49%. And Indiana had the edge when it came to threes, partly because of Caitlin, of course. They shot 6 of 15, while Chicago only had 3 for 11. But Chicago had them in rebounds, largely due to Angel Reese. They had 20 boards, only 12 for Indiana. But one thing I noticed for the Sky really needs to work on is turnovers. Just still kind of not quite as precise with passes as they need to be and turning the ball over. So they had 8 at the end of the first half, and the Fever only had 4. So we come out after the halftime in the third quarter. It was just all Indiana Fever. Caitlin Clark continuing to feed Aaliyah Boston a lot. She was delivering. And I noticed that Caitlin was shooting less. And at some point, she was passing up open shots. It seemed like she was really wanting to get her teammates involved. And I understand that. But towards the end of the game, that might have backfired for her. So again, she had career high 13 assists in this one. You could see that she and Boston have much better chemistry now than earlier in the year, which just makes perfect sense because they've been playing together a lot more now. They know each other's games more. They see, you know, Caitlin knows how to find Aaliyah, where to get her the ball. And it's just really fun to watch the way that they connect. But as I said, the third quarter was all about the Fever. At one point, they went on a 24-3 run, and they had a 15-point lead, and they ended the quarter up 72-64. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, you know, the Fever are going to take this one. But things really changed in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso, who was really starting to come into her own. You might remember Camila Cardoso was the star for South Carolina in this year's women's championship game. She started the year injured, though, with the WNBA. So she, at first she wasn't playing at all. Then she was coming off the bench with limited minutes. But now she is a starter, and they're really taking advantage of the way she's able to score over people. And they're getting her the ball just like Caitlin was getting the ball to Aaliyah Boston. So it's really interesting to see all these their South Carolina players here, because you've got Cardoso, who came out of South Carolina. Aaliyah Boston also came out of South Carolina. But, of course, now in the pros, they're playing against each other. So Cardoso and Angel Reese, they both had 7 points in the third, but Angel had a double-double at that point. So she is on an eight-game streak with double-doubles, and she actually leads the whole WNBA in offensive rebounds. And in the fourth quarter, she just kind of took over for her team. She was doing it on both ends of the floor. She had 10 of her 25 points in that last quarter. She also had 16 boards on the day. She became the first rookie in the WNBA to have 25 points and 15-plus rebounds in a game since 2018, when Aja Wilson did that. And she's considered by a lot of people, you know, she plays for the defending champ, Las Vegas Aces, to be the best player in the WNBA. Chicago just went on a big run. Indiana was able to get that lead down to 3, though. And this is where things get really interesting, Rick, about Caitlin Clark passing. I think it's great to get your teammates involved. You see this in stars basketball games all the time, men and women. You're the star player, but you want to get your teammates going, right? Get them fired up, especially on the road. But in this case, with this game really late, there were opportunities where the Fever could have taken a lead. Like at one point, they were down by 3, and it was not that much time left. And I'm thinking there had been a timeout, thinking, okay, this ball is clearly going to Caitlin, but no. Another teammate took the shot and missed. And I saw something like this with the Sky, too, where I thought they had a situation where they needed to score. They were going to go to Angel Reese. They were going to go to Camila Cardoso. And they went to someone else. And, you know, they ended up not scoring at that point. So this game, it ends up that Chicago won this one. And I think, you know, Indiana had that chance. And I don't know what happened, but Caitlin just did not score. She didn't sort of take over the fourth like you would expect. In fact, she didn't shoot the ball at all after the 7-12 point in the fourth quarter. And obviously we know that's got to change. And she is a rookie and she will learn, you know, yes, it's great to get your teammates involved, but at a certain point you're going to have to just, you know, take over. Like, she should have been demanding that when they were down by 3. Should have been demanding that shot, but she didn't. But, you know, she's going to learn. She finished the game with 17 points. This loss for them snaps a four-game winning streak because they were playing better. I mean, both of these teams still have not great records, obviously, but you do see the improvement, and it's fun to see, and it's exciting to see about what's going to happen with women's basketball.
You know what the worst thing about the WNBA is? Mm-hmm. They're what? Horrible nicknames. The singular nicknames drive me crazy. Liberty.
Why?
Sun. Storm. Dream. Sky. It's just stupid. Fever. Just,
but I mean, I don't think there are any stupider than the names that the men have. But you're just used to hearing them. You're just used to hearing them, so they don't sound stupid to your ear because you've been hearing them for years.
Sky is
stupid.
But if
you really think about it.
Stupid. Chicago Sky.
What would you call them?
I don't know.
Does Chicago Bulls make any sense, really? It doesn't really make sense.
Something. Well, that was after the the stock exchange there, right? The bull market, whatever. But do something that has
Chicago, though?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like Miami Heat. So. Miami Heat makes sense. I mean, it's hot down here. Okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
It does.
But like Indiana Fever, that doesn't, that doesn't
yeah,
make any sense.
It makes no sense. Exactly. Exactly.
But again, none of them, Rick, we have to realize most of them don't make sense, though. Like, they don't. Most of them don't.
And are there, I didn't know there was this big species and just a completely indwelling of lynx in Minnesota, you know, one of the coldest states. I had no idea. No idea.
But like I said, Rick, it's just because it's new. Like, none of these, most, oh, I should say none of them make sense. Like I said, Miami makes perfect sense, Miami Heat. But a lot of these, they don't make any sense. And we just roll with it because
they just really
it's
don't.
What we've been hearing our
They really life. Don't. You're right. You're right. All right, well, listen, my best to your fam. And, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement and have the expectation that everybody's going to be in the studio here in August. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be awesome.
Okay, well, we'll definitely try to do that because that's when we're going to be there.
All right.
And I have a friend who's getting married. We're going to go to her wedding, and there, you know, I think there's going to be some time. I'll visit with some family, and maybe between those two things, between the wedding and the family visit, maybe we can hop up there.
Do you have
because
all your...
the wedding...
You have all your credentials?
It's a triad.
Okay. You have everything packed for the Olympics. You got all your stuff. You're already starting. Okay,
I'm ready.
Okay. Passport in
I'm
order and everything.
I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Great stuff as always. I hope you and your family have a great week.
Okay, you too.
All right. There you go. That's Marva in Miami. And remember, we just learned Marva hates Jamaica. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More coming up here on a Monday. Stay with us.
BDST in the NRV.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. Was looking for the place called Lee Ho.
So right now everybody's thinking about Vincent, a.k.a. Tom Cruise and The Color of Money, running the table there early in the right? Remember, he had the black T-shirt that said Vincent. Thanks to Marva for joining us. Tim Thomas, I believe it's 7:35. Maybe he's back to his regular time today.
Around your kitchen door.
I'm going to have to ask Tim, why in the world does Miami continue to get this benefit of the doubt all the time? All the time. Is Cam Ward really going to come in and just be this dynamic, oh my goodness, he's unstoppable player? Because that's what it comes across as when I see all these predictions about Miami. Looking forward to having Phil Still on here in a few weeks. After his mag drops, and figuring out exactly the whole Miami situation. I know that, well, it doesn't matter as much now since the league's going to implode. But they've never won the ACC since they've been in the league. Ever. Ever. By the way, it looks like six covers for the Phil Still Mag this year. They do it regionally, and on the ACC cover, one of the five players highlighted is Kyron Drones. So there you go. Adding more players, I see, to his cover. So that's good. That's good. But anyway, hope you're well, wherever you might be. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More coming up here on this Monday when we return.
Big Dog is back on the Bear.
Woman, you know you're a woman. You got to be a woman. I got the feeling of love.
5 minutes for the top of the hour here on a glorious Monday. Thanks to Marva for joining us. Take our team hotline, 731-1053. Text line is 744-2990. Joining us now on the program. From the Tech Lunch Bell, his name is Tim Thomas. Tim, how are you? Good morning.
Rick, I am doing great. Hope you are also.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying the warm weather. We're here now smack dab into summertime. Feels good, and that means that this week, Tim, we get out of June and get into July. We're going to have the NFL training camps, but we're only going to be a month out or so from college football practice. It's getting here quickly, isn't it?
Rick, it definitely is. I tell you, we got ACC, you know, we're just about a month away from the ACC kickoff, and then there's, of course, a lot more to happen. But in the meantime, there's still a lot of recruiting that is about to happen, a lot of decisions, a lot of commitments that are going to happen in the coming weeks. It's going to be quite busy on the recruiting front, and then all of a sudden the football that will actually be played on the college football field this fall will come into focus.
Well, we'll get into that, and we'll talk about what they've accomplished over the last couple of days. But you had a chance to sit down with Brent Pry. How did that go with the Virginia Tech head coach?
Yeah, that was great. It was great to sit down with Brent and, you know, talk through some stuff. It was interesting to get his opinions, both look big picture, and then also look more to this year's team. I think one of the interesting, some of the biggest takeaways I had, and of course you're a TLB insider, you go to techlunchbell.com, it's all there, the whole interview. If you're not, you need to become one, because you're going to get some great insights, including on things like in-state recruiting. I was a little surprised, to be honest, when he said, but maybe I shouldn't be. You know, this is the mindset of any great head coaches. He said in-state recruiting is not where he wants it to be yet. He mentioned there's so many stories of guys who go elsewhere and then they transfer back to Tech and have great success at Tech, and he said there will be more of that. So I think Pry clearly wants the feet continue to get better and better at landing top in-state talent in the first place rather than kind of on the bounce back. And then develop them as we've seen them do with guys like APR, for example, develop them further than where they were previously. So I look at things like that. I look at expectations, how, you know, look, I think Brent Pry is considering that he knows this a little different, having to deal with expectations compared to the noise they've dealt earlier in his tenure. But at the same time, it's still noise, and still want to go about the same way. A ton of praise of the maturity of this team. I think that was a word that he used a lot. I think it's a word you're going to hear a lot in the coming weeks and couple months leading up to the season, is that word maturity, and how Brent Pry feels he's got a very mature team. And then, of course, pointing out other interests up quarterback, talk Kyren and his development and the importance and the benefit of having an established quarterback. This time, instead of having a competition again. You look at linebackers, there's going to be plenty of competition there. Offensive line, all sorts of stuff. We get into all of it. So, techlunchbell.com is the place to be, but it was a great time sitting down with Brent for about 15 minutes or so here in Roanoke earlier this week.
Tim Thomas joining us on the program from the Tech Lunch Bell. A lot going on recently in recruiting over the last several days, and Tech doing a nice job, right? Getting some of those in-state guys and elsewhere right now.
Yeah, we just talked about Brent Pry saying, yeah, it's not where he wants to be. Well, they got a big one in Christian Evans, 3-star defensive tackle out of Northern Virginia. He had taken official visits both to UNC and UVA. He was planning on taking one to Oklahoma, but doesn't end up taking it. Instead, commits to Tech. That was a big-time pickup. He had quickly become a top priority ever since they offered him around mid-April. Tech was kind of slow to offer here. And sometimes that can shoot you in the foot. And earlier on, it looked like, okay, maybe were they a little too slow? The answer, no. Once they offered him, they really turned on the heat. They pushed Boston College out of his official visit schedule. And I think they did a great job. And then, of course, yesterday, you got the quarterback, A.J. Brand, 3-star from South Carolina, second quarterback in this class. I think Tech, it's safe to say they're done. As of now, they're done at quarterback. Unless lose one of the guys, then maybe things change. But as of now, they are done at quarterback. So AJ Brand. I really like this kid. I haven't gotten to watch the tape much, but if you look at the numbers, this guy threw for 45 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions last year, completed over 72% of his passes, ran for over 1,000 yards, averaged 13.3 yards per carry. I mean, this, if you look at the numbers, Rick, it's like a throwback to the old NCAA Road to Glory mode. I mean, those are the type of numbers that he was putting up. Incredible numbers. So, yeah, I think this kid's got tons of potential. I think he fits what Tech wants to be as well at quarterback, this dual-threat guy. I think he exactly fits what you want and what Tech has shown they want. And like I said, the production is absolutely there. He played for a great high school at Irmo, one of the best programs in South Carolina. A little surprised he hasn't got more offers. Maybe there's something else, but I think this could end up being a steal. So you got that. The three-star linebacker, Noah Chambers, another guy who was a priority at linebacker in the boat now. Very good recruiting victory over Maryland to get the kid from Powerhouse to Matthew Catholic. Yeah, really good get there, getting Chambers. I think he's a Mike or a Will. Probably maybe more of a Mike. I don't know. I think he can play either of those two more traditional linebacker spots. And now I think linebacker is almost done, pending what Brennan Johnson, the son of Lauren Johnson, brother of Braylon Johnson, decides to do. So, and a very nice haul, I think, at linebacker as well this cycle. Getting a couple guys in Clatterball and Chambers and Pope with Third and Johnson, who are at this, in this room from day one for months, for several months.
Well, it is trending in the right direction, and again, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, you and I have talked about how it's going to look in the long run with high school recruiting and the portal and so forth, and it's going to be kind of it seems like, though, again, this staff has a great grasp on what they want and how they want to do this, and you're right. What's going to be great about this, too, is once we get into the games, we can go ahead and start thinking about what this team's going to look like. And I wanted to ask you, 247 Sports just put out their ACC preview, and I'm not even going to talk about Tech where they have them, but they have Miami number two in the preseason. Tim, what is it about the national pundits that just have Miami year in and year out pegged to do so much higher than what actually happens on the football field? What's up with the brand of Miami that keeps drawing people in after so much failure year after year?
Because at some point, like this, they should. Like, when you have this much talent, at some point, like, it's got to click, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'll be honest, Rick. I know this. I shouldn't do this, probably, but I look at that Miami roster and I'm like, they might be on a ballot at the top as my ECC pick. They might be. I haven't dove into it too much yet, but you look at what they've done. Look at the way they've recruited. Look at the talent they brought in the portal. I think about, obviously, star talent like Cam Ward and Damian Martinez. I mean, that might be the quarterback and running back or the preseason All-ACC as transfers. I mean, Martinez is an absolute stud. That was an insane get in the spring window from Oregon State and Ward's. I mean, it's going to be a question of him or Kyron Drones, probably preseason ACC quarterbacks. I mean, that's when you have that type of talent. I mean, it's, yeah. The question is, can Chris Sabal get it done on Saturdays in the fall? We've seen him get it done on Saturdays in the spring. We've seen him get it done Saturdays in June and Saturdays after the season's over. Can he get it done on Saturdays in the fall? Can he coach and develop up that team? I mean, this is a big year for him. This feels like a year where he's got the pieces. You know, Florida State lost a lot. They brought a lot in, but they lost a lot. Clemson's in a weird spot right now. You get Virginia Tech at home this year. Louisville, and you got Louisville and NC State as well. But this feels like a year in this league that are going to be big threats. But this feels like a year, Rick, where, all right, if Miami isn't a contender, they don't want to be a contender in this league this year. We'll see what happens in Miami. Who knows at that point? All bets are off. Who knows? Maybe they pull Chris Sabal, maybe gets Manny Diaz, and they try to get Lane Kiffin to come there after this year. Or at least it trends towards the hot seat for the next year. I don't know. The talent's there. They've gone aggressive in the portal. The money's there. Everything is there. And the roster is, I think, there. The question now is, can they actually get it done on Saturdays? And that's I don't know, Rick. You know, that's the big question with Cristobal, is can he get the job done at Miami on Saturdays? Because there are other guys who've shown they can. Dabo Sweeney's shown it. Mike Norvell has shown it. Jeff Brom at Louisville has shown it. Dave Doran showed it. Brett Pry is showing it more and more. Though this is a big year, obviously, I think, for Pry as well, to take that next jump as well. But Pry showed he can do more with less. Can Cristobal do more with more? Or will he continue to do less with more in his tenure at Miami? We'll see. This is a big year, I think, for them. And I look at that roster, though. At some point, it's got to be okay. They got to have, you know, they got to put together at some point, right? I mean, it's, you know, there will be a lot of people saying in the preview that Miami is back. We'll see. We'll see if that's actually accurate. I'll have to, even though I may pick them the BAC championship game team, or even win the ACC, I still need to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the one thing they don't have is the kind of fan base that Virginia Tech has. And it's always been a problem, right, to have to drive down from campus to that pro stadium. And they haven't been good. Maybe if they're good early, maybe that gets fans involved. But they just don't have that support. I mean, remember last year when Miami came to town and they were so excited about coming to Virginia Tech because it was going to be a college football atmosphere? There's players. I think they go into that home stadium, and anything they have building up toward momentum kind of goes away because they don't feel like they're supported.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, Rick, if they get off to a great start, if they go beat Florida week one, and, you know, they could be easily 4-0. But a USF game the week before they play Tech, I tell you this, Tech and Miami both have tricky games in very different ways that could cause a little wear and tear on them going into that game. Tech's got a very physical game against Rutgers right before they travel to Miami. Miami has got to face a USF team that's got a talented young quarterback returning, which is a big deal at that level of football at the G5 for a G5 program. And they run that Alex Golesh, their head coach, is a former Josh Heupel offensive coordinator in Tennessee. So you know they're going to push Temple. They're going to spread you out. They're going to try to make a shootout probably. So that could be a very high tempo, you know, tiring game in Florida in September. So it's not like it's going to be cool or comfortable weather. But you know, Rick, if they're 4-0 going in there, those fans will show up for a night game. They will show up for big games. I think that is the one thing that I think we forget sometimes is that you look back to that one year they had under Mark Richt. When Tech was, Miami was a top 15 matchup, and then Miami Notre Dame was a top 15 matchup the week after, and those places were sold out and loud. That when Miami fans do show up, which is rare, but when they do, when they have a really good team, as is the case for most Miami sports, they show up and they can make a difference. That place can get tough to play. I think if you look ahead at this game. If this was a casual Saturday afternoon and you had a couple losses on Miami, okay, but this is a night game. Even on a Friday night, if they're 4-0 and Tech's 4-0, that place has got to be loud. That place has got to be rocking. You know, everybody knows the rivalry aspect of this game as well. Everybody knows the Big East history of these teams, the ACC history of these teams. That place will be loud and rocking if both teams are good going into that game. If someone slips up early, might be a different story. But we'll see. Like I said, that's why I wouldn't underestimate that atmosphere just yet because of how good Miami could be this year.
Well, Tim, let people know. You mentioned you got the Coach Pry interview in its entirety, and all folks have to do is sign up to be a premium member.
Absolutely, Rick. Go to techlunchbell.com. Become a TLB insider today, Rick. Look, we've already got a great feedback about the Brett Pry interview. Obviously, this helps us do more stuff like that as well. We've got tons of great recruiting coverage coming up and a lot of other things, features and other stuff I'm looking forward to doing over the summer as we build and build towards football season. You know, Rick, now's the time. You know, some people, you might be thinking, oh, I'm going to wait till August to get on. There's a lot of great stuff you're missing out on right now at techlunchbell.com. Not just recruiting, though tons of great recruiting coverage, but coverage of all Tech sports right now. Now's the time to become a TLB insider, Rick. And here's the thing. You can become one for $7 a month, or you can just do it for $70 a year. you can save yourself even more money. You're already getting a great value, but you can save even more money by becoming a yearly subscriber, a yearly TLP Insider. $70 a year, or if you just want to try it out for now, $7 a month. It's that simple. It's just like a price of Starbucks, basically. So imagine just one coffee. Instead of using that one time, just make it at home, become a TLP Insider, try it out for a month, and I think you'll want to stick around.
All right, man. Well, listen, great stuff as always, Tim. I hope you have a good week, man. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, Rick.
There you go. That's Tim Thomas from the Tech Lunch Pail. We'll take our final break here in hour two. Come back. Remind you what's ahead in the Power Hour here on a Monday when we return.
It's the Big Dog.
I love this one because it's so funny, but at the same time, it's very touching and it's very moving.
Hi, this is Pearson Prelo, starting free safety for the Buffalo Bills, former Virginia Tech Hokie, and you're listening to Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Go Hokies.
Thanks to Tim Thomas. Good stuff. Getting us updated on everything going on with the recruiting and so forth as we get into the warmer months here. Last week of June. Mercy, it's hard to believe it's the last week of June already here in 2024. 744-2990 is the text line. Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. I hear sirens outside. It's been some, like, it's been a strange morning. Like, well, obviously things here were not functioning at all on the station when I got here. But different, like, we've had a school bus pull into the parking lot here in Fairlawn and kind of just sit there. We've had a tour bus, like some kind of commercial bus come through here and just kind of hang out. I mean, maybe they're listening to the show. Maybe they just want to be part of the show. A couple vans have just been parked outside. Are we under surveillance? So what's going on here? That's what it is, isn't it? Breaking news here on the program. BDST apparently under some kind of national surveillance from the government. You know, just a strange start to the week, to say the least. Got a couple of big finale games tonight. In a time of the year for the sports fan when there's not much happening, we've got Game 3 of the College World Series to decide the whole shooting match. Tennessee and A&M. And we've got Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. And if, again, if you're not a hockey fan, man, I'm telling you, Florida had a 3-0 lead. Edmonton has come charging all the way back. Incredible. We got a Game 7 tonight. And it's always a lot of fun. Always. Okay, so Wayne from Ohio says he's responsible for the buses. They've been selling tickets to see the show live. Well, I didn't know. If you just let me know, Wayne, that would have been great. Wow, $50 a busload. Impressive. Yeah, like those Hollywood tours. I could invite them into the studio. Look, this wasn't working this morning. See how this is not lit up? Because, well, it's not working. Hi, how are you? Glad to have you. The glamour. The glamour. Hour three. I'll get into some more of your text messages about this 247 Sports ACC prediction. It's not horrible, right? You know, I'm not going to buy into Miami. I'm just not. But and where they have Tech, it makes perfect sense for someone outside of the era who's not looking as closely at the roster as we are here. All right. So we'll go back over. People may have missed it. Heard Tim and I talking about it. And are we really going to buy Florida State this hot and heavy again with DJ Uiagalelei replacing the very dynamic Jordan Travis? Ooh. I don't know, man. We shall see. And will this be the last season that we're actually talking about ACC football as we know it? Right? I mean, that can happen too. There's a lot of questions surrounding. It already doesn't feel the same with this whole Stanford and California ridiculousness. All right? It already just feels completely to the point to where it's just tainted. Of those two West Coast teams, Cal is widely considered to be much better than Stanford. Good for Tech that they, of the West Coast trip they have, it's to Palo Alto and not to Berkeley, because that could be a little tougher. Because Cal does have pretty good weapons coming back on offense. But, yeah, we'll look at it again, and we'll get your text messages and your phone calls here on this Monday coming out of the weekend. Again, I appreciate still getting messages. Thanks, everybody. Heard me talking about it or just realized it. But Saturday was the one-year mark of my mom's passing. It was a year ago. It's hard to believe. And then you have all those memories flooding back and all the days that led up to it. And it was a tough weekend. I'm just not going to lie to you. We share things with one another here on this program. It wasn't a very glamorous weekend for yours truly. Just kind of tried to stay as busy as I could, keep my mind off of all the things that were popping in there about my mom. So I do appreciate being a whole lot hearing from so many people. It's great. All right, hour three coming up, the Power Hour here on a Monday when we return. It's BDST on our new home, 105.3 The Bear.